always late. I have 6 o'clock, and we seem to always press it against the clock, so let's get started.
Yes, the meeting was posted on June 25th and June 30th, so we are in compliance. Our feature program this evening is our All-American Selection Display and Demonstration Garden, so I'm going to turn it over to Jeannie. She'll have a chance to talk about the garden, and I think we're going to go on a tour.
Yes, well, tonight, that's where we're here with everybody.
I think I want to introduce Mike Earl. He's new in youth and governance, along with Olivia, who's not here yet. I don't know if she's...
Doesn't say whether she's coming.
So we'll talk. Mike's, well, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm going to be a med sci junior at Indian Trail. I'm the vice president of Keep Love at our Indian Trail. I try to help out as much as I can. I try to go to as many things as I can, so I am learning about Kenosha very well, along with Kenosha County. We had a few programs dealing with Kenosha County, like we had a Brightdale golf outing thing where we had to help out throughout the course, and we serve snacks, and we help out Kenosha County, and then I am also part of NHS, and I was thinking about being in other groups, but I was just seeing where else is available.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to take an opportunity to introduce our newest colleague in the UW Extension office, and that would be Janine Dreyer. Janine is our new shared clerical position, 50% our office and 50% P&D, because we're so nice, we're going to share them. Now, what she says about that, we'll see. But yeah, so welcome to Janine, and she's here tonight to get her first experience to see our PDEC meeting, and she'll also be joining you for the other part to get a hand on that issue.
And Janie, you should also introduce yourself, since you are
I'm Jeannie Holinsky-Christensen. I'm the consumer horticulture educator, so I work 40% of the time, 45% now. And I assist Barb while she's doing all her liaison work around the state.
Can I introduce myself? You wouldn't have met me last week.
Oh, yeah, we forget. And some of you only come to every other meeting. And yeah, Michael was here last week or last month, but yeah, so a couple of you.
I'm Bethany Sorcy. I'm the 4-H program assistant, so I'm 60%. I work with the 4-H program, and I also happen to be working with the after school ambassadors and a few other youth development programs throughout the university.
And I'll quickly say, Terry Ward. I'm the administrator for the nutrition education program. We work in both Racine and Kenosha counties, and we serve mainly low and limited resource audiences with nutrition and food resource management skills.
Hopefully the rest of us you remember.
Okay. There's a quiz, right?
Okay. All right, tonight what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking a tour outside of the Kenosha County, I call it the Kenosha County Center AAS Display and Demonstration Garden. It's a long title, but if you don't include it all, you might miss something, because it's always been a demonstration garden. So we've always been trying to show different types of plants and how they grow, whether or not they're hardy here. So it gives people an idea of what types of plants they can grow in their gardens. And last year, we actually got notification that we were selected to be an AAS, All-American Selections Display Garden. And what that means is the All-American Selections is an organization, and it's a national organization actually based out of Illinois, where they trial plants, certain plants that they feel will be worthy for the home gardener, and they trial them at different gardens, and after they get judged and deemed that they're probably one of the better types of different varieties, then they get put into a display garden, and that's what we are here at the Kenosha County Center, a display garden. We don't run any trials, we don't have to take any data, but we're here to showcase those plants, and it gives people an idea of what plants they can actually grow in Kenosha County. Last year we entered a contest just for the fun of it. The Master Gardeners are the people that helped me and Barb run this garden. The Master Gardeners are a great group because they're very dedicated. They come every week to make sure it's weeded and watered and taken care of. And they decided, yeah, let's try ahead and go ahead with this landscape contest. And we won honorable mention last year for the best inspiration garden. So that was kind of cool, our first year being in this national garden, and it really went well. So this year, again, we're going to, because of the Master Gardeners, we're going to enter the contest again, and we have to have a theme, and it has to have to do with geometry. So when we get outside, I'll show you how we've incorporated geometry into our garden. So ready to go out?
I'm going to pause until we return from the garden tour.
I'll send you.
Anything to wrap up, Jeannie? I know, so we all have this key device.
That's what happens when we have a terrain.
That's right. No, that's normal and it's a little religious.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just want to comment that our offices are on that side of the building, and so we can see as people come and visit. And it does attract a lot of people who are doing business in the building, or I've just seen people walk up and start looking around at the garden and reading all the signs and paying attention. So it really is meeting our educational need to talk about the All-American Selection Gardens and what people can do, but it's also a beautification piece for the county center as well. So for that, we appreciate Jeannie's work and as well as the Master Gardeners. So. Okay, shall we go on to our educators' reports?
I'll start off. I've got some numbers from the household hazardous e-waste and refrigerant waste collection event that we had back in May. We finally got everything sorted out. We had 58,000, almost 59,000 pounds of electronics waste. That was almost double what we did last year. And the household hazardous waste, I mean, is all kinds and sorts, but also one of the bigger ones that we've ever had here in the county. So people are really satisfied and excited. It costs quite a bit more this year than previous years because we went with a different waste handler. But the county executive was very committed to making sure that we offered the service. So. That was great. And then the other update that I have is that the Kenosha County Energy Team is still going. We are at kind of a 6-month mark for 2015. So I just put together a little flyer about some of our, impacts in our story here. We reported at the Public Works Committee meeting earlier this month. So they are up to speed on some of the things we're working on. And if you look at the sheet on the back side, I'll tell you a little bit about what these scores mean. We have 8 primary facilities that appear in the county. We're not looking at Brookside here as far as our portfolio manager scores, but you can see KCBC, KCAB, the courthouse, ACC, KCJC, which is the job center, Molinaro building, pretrial, and the public safety building. And everything is a score out of 100. So we've entered utility bills and energy use data for 3 years. Now it's going on 4 years because we've been keeping this current. And as of June 2014, those are the scores. And you can see that many of them have increased their scores, meaning they've become more efficient. Their building performance has improved. So we've done work through the energy team and the detention center, which has improved its score. In KCAB, they did a major renovation project, and that has improved its efficiency. KCC has almost got a perfect score, so this building is highly efficient already.
Get rid of these lights.
Yeah, they're
that'd
backsliding
probably be the,
here a little bit.
That'd probably be the 1%.
Yeah, backsliding. Yeah.
Any ideas? You live out here, don't you?
It's these lights in this room.
I'm not sure. The baseline is 100, so in the past it was even more efficient, and we've kind of slid down in the last few years.
We might have to start investigation on this.
It's quite efficient. And then the last one was the public safety building, but that has only improved by a point, but we've done work down there too. So we'll see the impacts of our work is what's really exciting. So over time, these scores will just keep improving. So that's all I had.
I'm next. We did summer camp was in June, and that is for grades 3rd through 8th grade, and that is a 3-day camp held at YMCA Camp McLean in Burlington. So we had 30 youth attend that, 6 counselors, and then 8 adults assisted in running that 3 days. We had master gardeners come in, and they did
flower pounding.
So it was really cool though. The kids got to take flower petals and then muzzle them, and you put it down on wax paper, and they got to use hammers and pound it. And so when you took it off, the dye from the flowers came through onto the muslin, and so some of the kids made picture frames, some of them made wall hangings, some of them made things to say Happy Father's Day, Dad, because Father's Day was the following weekend, so they're like, hey, I can give my dad his present right away. So we had, they came and nicely taught that. We had volunteers from the Foods Project and the Drama Project come in, and they did a session with the kids. And then we had our wildlife naturalist with the 4-H program for the state. He came down and did plaster footprints with the kids and talked about trails and how to find footprints and things like that and how do you track. And I just happened to give it all of hers back today, so I remember, so I was hanging onto it from camp. So, but they had a great time. She's coming back next year. She's coming back next year for Ukrainian eggs. I already have her penciled in.
Ukrainian eggs?
Yep, just come back next year for Ukrainian. Okay. So it was cold and really wet that weekend. It was the weekend that it rained Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, but the kids had a blast. We made the best of it. They didn't get to go swimming Friday, but we got it done on Saturday, so the kids had a chance to go swimming and boating and do things. So they had a great time. The next one coming up is our day camp, which is kindergarten through third grade. We have 12 kids currently signed up to do that, and I have 6 kids signed up to either teach or be a counselor with those kids, and so they'll be teaching all day, different projects. I think we have 8 different projects that we're going to do. And that's at Old Settlers Park in Paddock Lake, so we're teaming up with the Parks Department. And then after that, I just added one more class for the babysitting with the Girl Scouts, so that'll bring me up to a total of 5 classes of babysitting training that I will have taught this summer. And that's for youth that are 6th through 8th grade that are trying to want to babysit, and that's the American Red Cross certification. So that's what I've been doing. It's been a busy summer.
Okay, mine is next. For Nutrition Ed, I just wanted to announce and congratulate one of our veteran nutrition educators, Cynthia Armstrong, accepted the position that we posted for teaching coordinator. So she's essentially been doing that role, and she was one of the people that just sort of rose to the top of the crew. So she, we're really excited to move forward with her in that position. She's going to be teaching 50% of the time, and then the other 50% of the time she'll be sort of a liaison between the nutrition science specialists at Madison that work to find and develop curricula and working with educators to adapt that curricula to various audiences. And speaking of various audiences, I kind of was thinking, throw out a lot of numbers because, you know, we have a federal grant and sometimes that is like doesn't have a lot of meaning. So I'd like to talk about a featured partner from each one of our programs just very briefly, just to give you an update, and over time maybe you can see, you know, really the breadth of the audience that we work with. So we received 2 grants. One of them is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP Ed, and that has whole variety of different curricula that we can choose from. And the partner that I just wanted to report on is ResCare, or Humans, through a collaboration with Human Services Department. And they teach the mandatory FSET, or Food Share Employment Training classes, to those adults without dependent children who are receiving food share. In order to receive their food share, this is, you know, we were part of the pilots last year, and now it's rolling.
rolling out all across the state. So we teach a component of those classes. We teach two short lessons, a total of an hour and a half, with two classes. One of them is basic nutrition, and the other one is food resource management. So the classes are called Money for Food. And since we started doing that in October of last year, we've reached just over 2,400 learners. And we've gotten some pretty great results and pretty good feedback from those folks. I'll just share a couple of comments from the people that receive that education every week. They were committed to, one person commented she was committed to buying more whole wheat pasta versus just, you know, white pasta. Another person wanted to find more recipes for dried beans, plan to keep healthier snacks on hand. Many plan to eat healthier or eat better, make a grocery list, plan meals, and plan more nutritious meals. So a lot of this has to do with planning, which seems to be a common theme in this audience. Like, you know, maybe they don't have a lot of planning skills or foresight. So we're really excited to see that change and happy to be able to partner with the folks at ResCare to bring that component. We feel that helps sustain families who are facing multiple different challenges. And then the other partner is the other grant that we receive, FNEP, which is the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program grant. That's a little bit different. That's where we do the series of seven classes. In the past, we've gone into people's homes to do those classes. A lot of the folks that we've taught are dealing with some social isolation concerns or issues, be it lack of transportation, or, you know, they have children they can't find care for, or there's a myriad of reasons. But we're trying to go more into groups with community partners. And we partnered with Cesar Chavez Learning Station, who does the Head Start for Kenosha Unified. And Edna Noriega is our bilingual educator there. She's fantastic. She's just brilliant at getting groups of people together. And one of the participants that went through her class said that since taking the classes, the biggest impact was she realized how much sugar was in soda. And she had no idea really before. And she before taking the classes, she would buy a 24-pack of soda each week. But since then, she told Edna, "I've completely stopped buying soda." And she attributes that to her 2-pound weight loss, and her youngest son has lost 5 pounds. So she was very excited about that. And then another participant shared with Edna that she and her husband both took the series of classes together. And she was sharing with Edna that she was pretty happy that to see when they go grocery shopping now, her husband is looking at all the nutrition labels, reading them, insisting that they buy, you know, skim milk and products with higher nutrients. So I think that participant was tickled that, you know, she doesn't have to even say anything, that her husband is just taking the lead on this and making nutrition a priority for their family. So those are good stories to share.
So I've been working a lot with the master gardeners that are answering the gardening questions, and as you can see from our tour outside, the combination of weather conditions, and it's just a good year for insects and diseases and other kinds of problems. And there's a difference in what I've noticed in doing and working with master gardeners answering gardening questions over 20 years. It used to be that a lot of the questions we would get would be fairly simple and ones that you could pretty much just kind of routinely answer. You know, here's the fact sheet, here we'll answer it and run down through them. Because of people's access to the internet and the ease in which they can get that kind of basic information, they're looking it up that way. So although we're getting the number of calls and questions we get is down, the complications are much greater now. So the questions we tend to get now are the ones where people have started to look things up and it's confusing, or it doesn't exactly look like what it is, or they can't find a really good answer on the internet. So it usually takes a lot more research. So the answer to a question is not something that you get in 5 minutes and quick look it up.
often it takes much more careful questioning of whoever the master gardeners are I'm talking with. I'm trying to figure out what some of the complications are. It really is, you know, plant crime scene investigation, so we call it plant CSI kind of thing, to see what is going on, what are the complicating factors, what else have they done, how is it different, and some of those things. And in some cases, like the basil downy mildew that you saw, this is one of those diseases that is a significant problem and can impact producers. So we have a lot of producers that are small-scale vegetable herb producers in the area. So Jeannie and I were actually talking about, we left that out there, but that basil is going to be destroyed because it's a source of infection for producers in the area. And you know, we even have a farmer's market that's just not too far over, and that those spores will easily travel a mile in the wind. So when we think about, you know, what are we doing, in many cases we're also helping to protect our economy, both for producers, and we're also guiding people in sustainable decisions too. So what are they using? Is it a good choice? Is it a sustainable choice? We give them all the options, the research-based options, and then they have to decide. But we do try to encourage them to think through things and not automatically grab those sprays and do it that way first. So it's fun. I always like that kind of thing. It's the challenges of it. And I have to just quickly tell you, so just because we have the geese, this is like goose week for me, because I got an email from this woman last week, and I think she lives out, she must live in the western part of the county, because she lives on a lake, and the geese are coming up into her yard, and so she's tired of shooing them out, and she wanted to know, she read a little bit about putting barriers up, but she wanted to know what it was. So it took me some research time to find out what kind of plant barriers you can use or what's recommended to try to keep the geese out of the yard. So kind of interesting. And you'll actually see that in a column in a week or two, because I thought, yeah, it was a long enough answer that, and there's enough people that probably have that problem. So.
I'll report for Carmelo, who couldn't be here this evening. He has started a pilot project this summer at the Boys and Girls Club. It's called Digital Storytelling. And he's working with youth to give them an opportunity to plan, script, and edit a short video project. So maybe with any luck, at the end of the summer, we'll be able to see some of that, the work from this youth at the Boys and Girls Club. I was remiss and skipped the item on the agenda regarding the Youth and Governance bus tour. So we're gonna go back. But before I say anything, I'm gonna ask Michael if he wants to share from his perspective of having participated in the bus tour.
I just like how you learn so much about all different areas of the community so fast. I find it very resourceful that, you know, some of the committees I really didn't know what they actually did, but then, you know, you learn what all of them did within a day.
Yeah. And I shared with you the evaluation summary, I will say in their defense, we hand them the evaluation at the very end of the day, and they are so dead dog tired coming out of that bus. And I'm asking them to fill out an evaluation. But I think it does help us see that they indeed indicate that they have, one, significantly increased their knowledge of what county departments and county government does, as Michael just said. And the second part that I think is even more beneficial to us is that they gain confidence in their ability to be a committee member. So I think just that ability to sort of see the behind-the-scenes experience and gives them an opportunity to learn a little bit more before they sit in their committee meetings. So it increases that. So I should also share that for the first time, we always have firsts. And this was our first year that a young man called that morning and indicated that he could not make the bus tour. And we indicated, well, we're so sorry. That means you won't be in the program because it's mandatory. And we called the alternate. The alternate for the program was Eddie Carando's brother, Andrew Carando, and Mr. Carando, dad, drove Andrew to the building, got him here on time, and he joined the bus tour. So Andrew is now on the finance committee.
Okay.
So it worked out very well. Yeah, it worked out very well. Yeah.
They got a good county supervisor.
I don't think you live in Manchester.
My two updates are quickly is that I'm currently recruiting participants for Leadership Kenosha. So here's my business card. If you know one person that you could pass that on to and encourage them to become a participant this year, as well as any organizations that you are familiar with that perhaps could submit as a project sponsor. I'm soliciting team projects at this time. So that would be another way you could support and encourage people to participate in Leadership Kenosha. And then lastly, I'm going to share with you the email that you got as a county board supervisor. I'm going to give you the hard copy. Our event coming up later this month called Because of Extension, I should say hashtag Because of Extension, will be held here at the Kenosha County Center on July 22nd. We're going to invite our program participants and our learners to help tell the story, to say, here's why I value Extension, or here's how I've learned from Extension. So it won't be hearing from us. You'll be hearing from our partners and our learners. And I've invited federal, state, and local elected officials to join us that night. And a bonus for the evening, although you've already had a precursor to it, is it will also be the open house for the AAS garden that night as well. So that'll be open to the public to have one event for multiple uses. So that'll be July 22nd. So we hope you can join us. And I would encourage Chairman Noble, if you're able to announce that under supervisor's comments, to remind them to attend. I would appreciate it. Give one more plug for Because of Extension event.
Anything else?
I just had one more thing. I was on the radio yesterday, Wisconsin Public Radio. I don't know if any of you guys watched that. It was called Central Time at 4:15, and I talked about this.
4:15 a.m. or p.m.?
Actually, when people are awake. Yeah, okay. People are awake, they could hear it. But it's on the storefront study that I did, so they were asking some questions. I'll share it with you if you want to hear it.
Is it 90.5?
Yeah, 90.7.
Or
90.7. And you can actually listen to Amy, or you can listen to me, because I was on Garden Talk on the 3rd of July.
Do we have podcasts?
And they're all streaming. They're all archived. So if you go to the Ideas Network, WPR, the Ideas Network, you can find us on that.
Amy's debut, her radio
yeah,
debut.
Amy's yeah. Radio debut.
I was shaking. My mouth just caught my nervous.
Very good. All right.
Very good.
Excellent.
Motion to recess.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Mitzlaff, second by Supervisor Decker to recess to the other room. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.